First, I want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity, and I always appreciate your encouragement, and it makes it easier for me, and hopefully we can grow together in our maturity. The subject is for this afternoon will be the four steps to spiritual maturity, and kind of goes hand in hand with what we're studying in Hebrews about spiritual maturity. We bought some milkweed, and we've been enjoying monarch butterflies. I think we've had about 15 to 20 monarch butterflies that have developed. But it's always kind of interesting. I guess I wasn't privileged or was in the right classroom when I was a kid, because I don't remember us doing that. A lot of kids, when they're in grade school, they do the monarch butterfly thing with the silkworm, so they can see the transformation. So it's interesting that you know, you can watch the transformation of the caterpillar and the chrysalis and the monarch butterfly. And here's a little tidbit too. I don't know if you've actually watched them, but it's interesting because the chrysalis will turn green at first, and then right before they become butterfly, they turn black. So when you see them go black, and you're like, be on the lookout because it's going to become a butterfly. So anyway, that's a little tip there for a butterfly watching. So that kind of correlates with Christianity too. So when we become Christians, there's a transformation. Not so much as dramatic, but I think it actually is. It may not be as seen to the world, but I think it actually is as dramatic, if not more dramatic. Whenever we become Christians, we are to begin a transformation in our life. We can see this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." However, this transformation does not happen overnight, and it does not set well in sometimes the society that we live in. We've been trained to believe in instant gratification. All you have to do is look at the advertising of today. The fast food industry is famous for this. You can run through the drive-through and have your meal in 5 minutes or less. And if it takes 10 minutes, we begin to lose our patience because we have been trained to expect instant gratification. However, we cannot have that kind of mentality when it comes to growing as a Christian. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." And we looked at that this morning, or we talked about it. Peter describes the new Christian as a babe. I think everyone in here can understand this concept. When a baby is born, it can do little on its own, and it has to rely on its mother and father to care for it. As time goes by, though, the new baby begins to learn new things. For instance, it learns how to crawl, then it sits up, and then it learns how to walk on its own. There's a progression there. They also move from milk to solid food and as they mature. The same concept is true in a new Christian. They must grow spiritually, and they must mature one day at a time, and there are no shortcuts. Being a Christian is a lifelong commitment, and every Christian, no matter how young or old, should always be striving to grow, or you become stagnant. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." If a child that was not growing physically, and we actually talked about this, I was like, if it's not growing physically as it should, we would be very concerned. We would do everything that we humanly possible to get them the medical help or attention that they needed so that they could grow healthy and strong. In the same manner, we should be concerned with a Christian who is not growing spiritually and try to help them as much as possibly can. And it's really sad when some become Christians and they simply do not desire to grow, and they become stagnant because of that. The writer of Hebrews runs across Christians just like this in Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12, it says, "For though by this time we ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God," we talked about. "And you have come to eat milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And we talked about this, and Edward hit the nail on the head. It's experience. I mean, you don't get that experience any other way. And sometimes, it's heartfelt, most, I would say in my short lifetime, most of the things that are of value to me are hard fought. I mean, you have to work hard for them. Most things don't come easily. So you see that there is a great need for every Christian to grow and to mature in God's Word so that we can be prepared people and that it is pleasing to God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So now that we have learned how important it is that we all grow, let's now take a look at four steps to spiritual maturity. Now our four steps come from Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, the last verse that David read. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." So the first aspect we'll look at is we must prepare our hearts. Preparing your heart is one of the most important steps to become spiritually mature, because if you don't have the desire or right mindset to do God's will, then you're going to fail most likely, and you're going to fall away perhaps from God. You see, it takes dedication and commitment to learn more about God and to do His will. You have to want to. In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind." It doesn't leave much room for anything else. So you have to do that with everything that you have in your very being. So you have to prepare to give all of yourself to God. Also in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So what's in your heart? That's going to dictate who you're going to be. Proverbs also, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, which I got to read for one of Galen's lessons. Proverbs 4, 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So whatever you harbor in your heart is what is going to guide you in your life. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." If you do not fully prepare your heart to serve God, you will find it very difficult to remain faithful. We can learn about four different types of hearts in the parable of the four soils. And Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, we'll start. So this is the parable, and we'll look at the explanation. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on the ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop of 100-fold. But when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now continuing in Luke chapter 8, 11 through 15, it explains the parable. 11 through 15 it says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. And the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, and bear fruit with patience." So since we've been in the house, we've been privileged to have a yard. And I find it interesting, Garden 101, I think, is you buy a $30 plant and you dig a $100 hole. Anyway, that's what they tell me, and it works pretty well. So anyway, I'm trying to explain this, the prep works. I mean, if you prep the soil very well, then your plant is more likely to grow and bear fruit or grow. And we're no different. So if we do the prep work and do the leg work, we will be more successful as Christians in maturing in our faith. So what kind of heart do you have? Are you stubborn like the wayward soil and don't allow the word of God to sink in? Or are you like the rocky soil that once were excited about the word of God but lacked commitment and now just withered away? Maybe you are like the thorny soil and have your heart is only kind of prepared for God, but you allow the world to choke it out. In order to be pleasing to God and to be successful at becoming spiritually mature, we must have a heart like the fertile soil that is fully prepared for God so that we can grow in His grace. That brings us to our second point. We are to seek the law of the Lord. In order to grow by anything, whether it is the Word of God or a new job or perhaps a new hobby, you must seek out information and study it so you can become knowledgeable. Now that we have prepared our heart for God and have passion for doing His will, we must seek out His will by studying His Word. In Psalms 119, verses 10 through 12, Psalm 119, verses 10 through 12, it says, "With my whole heart I have sought you. O, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." David, even though he fell short of God's will from time to time, overall he loved God so much and tried his best to seek out God's commandments. And it even says he has hidden it in his heart. We should be the same. Seek his word and hide it in our hearts, because God's word is precious. And we can see this in the same book, but in verse 127. So Psalm 119, verse 127, it says, "Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold." There is nothing in this earth that is more valuable than the word of God, because it will lead us to eternal life. We can see this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. I don't know why, I really like the last, and it's so simple and to the point. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." And here's the kicker: For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus was letting people know, don't make monetary gain your focus in life. Instead, make heaven your goal. Also in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. There are no shortcuts to study God's word. You just have to roll up your sleeves and get to work and studying God's word every opportunity that you have. There are not many of us that would miss a meal to feed our body when it is hungry, but how many times do we skip an opportunity to feed ourselves the word of God when we are spiritually hungry? Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:5 to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you studying the word of God on a daily basis? If we neglect to feed ourselves spiritually, notice what can happen to the child of God in Hosea, in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Hosea chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity, and it shall be like people like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. That brings us to point number 3. We must do the commandments of the Lord. It is not enough just to know the word of God. You must also obey what you have learned. Otherwise, you will not grow. Let me give you a worldly example. Let's say that you read up and study how to do a heart bypass. You can learn all the ins and outs and learn all the technical names, but would you want this person to perform the surgery on you when they have never cut on a person before? Of course not. You want the person that has both the knowledge and experience, one who has already done several heart surgeries. It's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to practice it and to gain experience from it. James put it best in James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. In James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If we want to become mature, we must practice what we have learned in the Word of God. If we are not a doer of the Word, then James tells us we are deceiving ourselves. Jesus had a very important question for those who are not being doers of the word. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, it says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The word of God tells us many times, in one way or another, that if we love God, we will obey his commands. How can we say that we love God and call him Lord if we do not obey his commands? Notice what Jesus goes on to say in verse 47 of the same chapter. Starting in verse 47. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We have a choice. We can either be a doer of God's will, which will lead you to spiritual maturity, or you can do nothing and find yourself swept away with the life of sin, which will lead us to destruction. Sometimes following God's command can be very difficult. for us, especially when it comes to giving up what we hold dear to our hearts. But if we are going to be pleasing to God, we must sacrifice those things so that these temporary things do not separate us from God. Notice what the people of Ezra's time had to do back in the book of Ezra, chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. Ezra, chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. And I'll do my best to try not to butcher these names. And Shechem, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, spoke up and said to Ezra, "We have trespassed against our God and have taken pagan wives from the peoples of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel in spite of this. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all these wives and those who have been born to them, according to the advice of my master, and of those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let us be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter is your responsibility. We also are with you. Be of good courage and do it." God had commanded them not to have foreign wives, but many of them disobeyed this command and married them anyway. But now they realize that this was wrong, and that even though I'm sure they loved their foreign wives, they were showing that they loved God more, so that they sent these wives away so that it could be right in the sight of God. Too many today fall away from God or will not become a Christian because they are unwilling to give up what they hold dear. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 38, we can see this. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 38, it says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." We must love God by first obeying his commandments, then let everything else come into second and third. So we must put him first. And we come to the final one, number 4. We must share the truth with others. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." All of us should be prepared to teach those who ask us about God. Also in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Whenever you teach someone about the Word of God, it helps you become spiritually mature, because you learn how to speak to a person more effectively each time you do it. A person who teaches learns a great deal more than their preparation than those who receive the teaching. Try to use every opportunity you have to teach others about God, either by example in the way you conduct yourself, or sitting down and opening up the Bible and sharing the good news with them. Also, parents have a golden opportunity to teach their children so that God's will may live on in their family. And we can see this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Paul taught Timothy to teach the Word of God to others so that the Word of God would be taught from generation to generation. We can see this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So let's listen to the 4 steps to spiritual maturity one more time from the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Lord, to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach others, or teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." If we will work these 4 steps into our Christian lives, we will continue to grow and become more spiritually mature every day. So, if you are subject this afternoon to God's invitation, we ask that you come. We stand.